Beasley Media Group, BMI, and HD Radio present 100 years of radio, 100 years of hit makers, where we celebrate a century of hits written by some of the greatest songwriters of all time.
Hey, this is Brian Ives, and I'm the managing editor of Beasley Media. I'm hosting a series of interviews with hip-hop's biggest songwriters and producers. We're digging deep, talking about some of their greatest songs. This week, we're talking to Rob Grimaldi. He's a real interesting guy. He's worked with Queen Naija, but he's also worked with the K-pop group Blackpink, and he's even worked with country singer Jimmy Allen. Let's check it out. First of all, how did you start working with Queen Naija?
Hey, Brian. Nice to meet you, first of all. It's great to connect today. The Queen Naija story is a great one. It actually came as a vocal recording session, first and foremost. I had gotten connected with Queen through a friend who, super random, said that a friend of his needed a vocal recorded and wanted a producer on a project. And I said, of course, come on in. And I remember it being a super late night session the first time we met, and I hadn't known Queen's story ahead of time. So I was coming into it a little bit blind in a good way. And Queen came into the studio in New York, Engine Room downtown, and she had told me she had one other song out and in the market that was doing pretty well, and she was interested in making more music. And that was the beginning of our relationship. It kind of stemmed from getting a song recorded to being able to help develop and coach and eventually co-write and co-produce the two songs you mentioned. So it was a pretty fun journey for sure.
And Karma was a big R&B hit. It was also a big, like, sort of adult hit. You don't got that song with her.
Sure. Yeah, the Karma story was she had come in that first night and mentioned to me, hey, you know, I've been in the studio a few times before. It's still a new thing to me. And she said, I have this idea that I've been messing around with. And if you listen to Queen, her strength is her lyric. Her lyric game is great. She's super relatable. Her fans really pay attention to her story, just being that she's so prominent in the social world. And when she came in, she's like, I have this track that I've been writing to. It's kind of rough, and I wrote this song to it that I really like. And I remember being in the studio, and this was, again, it was like a late night thing. And I said, all right, let's sing it together just to get her comfortable in the studio and to go through the record. And she sang me what turned out to be Karma. And back in my head, I'm thinking, damn, this is really, really good. I can see how people would really relate to this. And the story was super personal to her, which that perspective is everything when it comes to new artists and especially records that work in the marketplace. So she sang it back to me and I was like, okay, well, this is an amazing start. Let's just try cutting it. And we went through it piece by piece and was coaching her with the vocal and kind of just really making her dig, because the story, again, was so real to her. It was an actual life thing, which makes it even more powerful. So when we got in and started cutting it, she's singing and I'm kind of just vocal producing as we go, and in different points of the track it was just like, okay, let's try this here with the track, or let's repeat the chorus twice and add background. So we kind of just did the production thing without her really knowing it at that time. And it really turned into, the first night when we finished it, she was so thrilled about it. I remember her manager was like, hey, we need you to hop on production on this and make sure it sounds right. And it became this whole ordeal of, you know, how can I get this thing from 75 to 120? And it was going in and really working with the production for scene changes and twists and turns. And I think the moral of that story was I didn't want to take away from her message at all on the record because the writing was so good. So everything, and that's kind of what production is in general, everything was just based around Karma. Like it was a story that I had to preserve, and El Jefe, the other producer on it, did an amazing job of kind of getting this thing started in a direction where she just loved to write to it. And then my role on it was to just make sure the vocal was right, kind of coach on some melody things here and there, vocal production, and then to just take the track and amplify what he had originally to get this thing to 100.
So originally you're basically helping her to write it, but you end up also co-producing?
Yeah, she had the top line pretty much set. I mean, there were some structure things that we had to address just in the quote-unquote song formula, which was kind of new to her at that time. But she had everything there. The meat and potatoes were there. The message was there. And she had the whole top line pretty much written before I even did anything to it. It was more so just getting on and making the track finished. It was kind of like it was halfway. So I wanted to come in and add some sauce and add some originality to it and some things that you wouldn't expect without taking away from the vocal. Because even the first time she sang it back to me before we really got into the recording, I could tell on her face like how real and personal it was to her. So I said, all right, let's just sing this back together a whole bunch of times and try some different things here and there. And then after we kind of recorded and comped and got all the vocals right, she was so excited, I remember. And her manager took me aside after and was like, you got to make this track crazy because it's sounding so good. And I said, perfect, leave it with me for a week and I'll have it finished. And the rest was history. It was a wild ride.
Is it weird to meet somebody who you just don't even know and like the first thing really you do with them is record a very intimate song about details of their, maybe not details, but certainly inspired by their life?
Absolutely. And I think it's, I mean, as writers who are writing every day, I think you're less surprised by that nowadays, because every session we're in, our job is to bring the best out of either the songwriter or the artist to allow them to feel comfortable to get as personal as possible. So I think at that point, when you get a record like that, where it was so specific to her, but so global to everybody else, I think my job was just really to tell her it was okay to feel, and it was okay to dig into that emotion, even in the recording. Like, I didn't want her to be happy recording Karma. It just wouldn't, no offense, but it wouldn't have delivered the message. So pushing her to kind of get into her feelings, even as a new relationship between me and her, a new working relationship, sometimes it's a little bit awkward, but she was such a great listener and so willing to kind of dig at that side that I think it made the process so much smoother. And the vocal makes all the difference on a song like that. So I think we captured something really exciting.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's like a movie. Like, if you're not going to perform the role, it's not going to, you know, it's not, people aren't going to buy it.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, then you also worked on Butterflies or Butterflies Part 2?
We did Butterflies. So the timeline was we finished Karma, and I know that was before Queen had signed her label deal. Then she signed with Capitol, which was a really exciting moment for her. I know it was a huge step in her career and in her managers as well. And I know they were so thrilled about it. So Karma came out, I think in June of 2018, went number one overall iTunes. I think same day as Drake, Scorpion came out, which was insane. That might be wrong, but I know it went number one there. And after that, they weren't scurrying, but we had a bunch of records that they wanted to put on an EP through Capitol. So Butterflies being one of them, Mama's Hand being another, Bad Boy being another. So we kind of just had a meeting, the three of us together, and it was like, hey, we need these records done for Queen's EP or her debut EP. How can you help? And for them, it was really just, you know, how can I help finish things and take some pressure off of them and make sure just knowing the label game and knowing what the label needs and deliverables and sonics and all that stuff, how can I be an asset to them? So we went through the process. Butterflies was one of my favorites on the record. It was another song that you heard it for the first time and you said in the back of your head, yep, this one makes sense for Queen. This is a no-brainer for her. It was about her relationship, her new relationship that she was over the moon about. And it was just one of those sticky melodies where you're in the back of your head saying, okay, cool. Again, like the bones are so strong here. Let's make sure the production and make sure the track elevates the record and sends the message home.
And so with that obvious, it's like the opposite of Karma. You want her to be happy in the studio when she's singing that one.
Absolutely. We were working, and a lot of this stuff, Karma included, the production almost came after the fact. Like the tracks were there in a place where she could feel enough to sing to them in the studio. I'm one of those producers where I love having the vocal recorded before I go ham on the production, because the vocal plays such a big role in how I shape the tracks. But it's also the feeling. So I'd rather half the time I'm doing productions and getting them to a certain place, recording the vocal, and then going back in and changing a lot of what I had because the feeling changes. So that's what we did on Butterflies. It was the same thing. Had a track that was really cool and got the vibe across. Got the vocal done, did all the vocal production in the backgrounds. For Queen, like, the backgrounds were a huge, huge piece of that EP. I think it kind of, like, put a stamp on what she could do vocally and that we weren't just mailing in the lead vocal only. We tried to really kind of switch it up with some cool runs in the back, some cool ad-libs, and a lot of layering, which was new to her in the best way. I think she absolutely killed it, and she's a harmony queen, so she kind of really enjoyed that process. And then, yeah, we just kind of came in and made sure those productions were solid, got the right knock on the tracks that matched kind of what she was doing, and we were home free.
Now, so you're I wouldn't say you're new, but you haven't been doing this for like a decade, and your sort of songwriting / production resume is super diverse. So you've worked with Queen, but then you've also worked with Monsta X.
We're kind of all over the map, man, and I think it's cool. I'm doing a bunch of country now as well, which I'm really excited about.
Right.
The Monsta X record, and there's a bunch of different things, and I think the root of it all is formula and knowing songs.
Right.
Because a lot of people will ask me that. It's like, you know, how did you do a Jimmy Allen, Tim McGraw record and then do a Queen Naija record? And it's all about capturing the song and being able to then pivot sonically and say, okay, this space and this demographic needs this, or in this realm this needs to happen. A lot of it is studying and listening to a bunch of music, but at the root of it all, it's if we can write a great song that makes sense for the artist, the production follows if you know what you're doing in those spaces. And I think that takes practice, but as soon as you lock in and understand what works where, it all comes back to the song.
I mean, when people started talking about K-pop a few years ago, I mean, now it's just like a massive force in American pop culture. I think people were a little like, oh, well, Americans listen to Korean music or music sung in a different language at all, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just feel like if you listen to it and you're not really listening to the lyrics, it just sounds like that type of top 40 music anyway, which is pretty easy to listen to and fun. But are there challenges? I mean, like, if everybody in the group doesn't speak English, or even the people behind the scenes don't speak English, does that cause, there's got to be some sort of language barrier there, or is there?
Well, it depends. I think for the Monsta X record particularly, I wrote that with two really good friends of mine, Ben and Joran, and it was just an infectious chorus. Like, that's where that started, and I remember we were playing it. We were in L.A. writing that at Sound Factory, and we were playing it on piano, and the second they were kind of vibing in this chorus, I said, okay, cool, this is something. When you write so many songs a week, which is kind of what we're in the business of doing these days, when you hear something that catches you right away, it's inspiring to make sure you get it right, which in a lot of cases you don't get that feeling. So the Monsta X record was one of those where it was so hooky, especially in the chorus, where I remember we all looked at each other and we're like, okay, let's chase this, because this is so much candy right away in the song. And I think that process, to answer your question about the language barrier and stuff like that, we have a Blackpink song coming out pretty soon as well, which I'm really excited about. And it was the same thing of write the best English song you can, and either they will take care of translating that to a different language, or they'll leave it be. And the Monsta X record was left in English, and so is the Blackpink one coming out. So sometimes you get lucky, and sometimes either way it works, they'll just translate it, and it's going to sound different to your ears, but in their space, it may work really well.
when you're doing a song for somebody like that, are you doing, like, are you writing it with that artist or that group in mind?
No, the Got My Number record, the Monsta X record, was not written with any focus in that space at all. It was, I remember we got up and it was kind of a reunion for us three. We hadn't written in a while. And the goal of the day, which I try and make this, I love to write with purpose every day. I think that's the most important piece. If there's a direct opportunity or an artist that makes the most sense, it's always, as a business person, smarter to do that. But I remember that day in particular, we literally were just getting up to write the best song we could. We had things in the back of our head that were saying, okay, we have a contact here. This person called yesterday. They need song for X person. But, I remember that one really being straightforward and let's figure out the best route. I know this was an idea that I think Joran or Ben, one of the two, had been sitting on, that melody just kind of popped and we knew it was something. So we just chased it down to the end.
When you're writing, like you say, you know, if you're writing for intent, are you writing thinking like, okay, there are multiple singers in this group. I need to come up with like a spot for each of them to shine.
Yeah. And if we had Monsta X in the room, same thing, if it was a Blackpink situation or any other group, my approach would 1000% change knowing the dynamic of the group. I think in that case, particularly, we had no target. It was more so, let's just work on this song because we thought the idea was cool. And then we were able, all three of us are pretty bomb at melody, so we were able to kind of sculpt the harmonies, and it worked for them because there were many of them to be able to sing all the parts that we had in there. But yes, for sure, if I was in the room with a group, just even from a vocal production perspective and knowing who does what, I think having that research done ahead of time is so important, because how you craft melody and how you craft parts to each person's strength is so important in making the song as powerful as it can be.
I mean, I've read, interviews with other people who've written with or produced for multiple singer groups, and even that's like being a casting agent. Like, who goes in which part? Or does one person get to sing everything and the other two singers have to sing backup this time?
Yeah, and I think knowing the group or listening to a bunch of their music and figuring out who does what best is so crucial, because I think the dynamic of the record can change pretty drastically with each personality doing the right thing. I've also heard a lot of those group songs where I wouldn't expect him to sing that part, and that's either really cool or really not cool. So you have to be careful with your choices there, especially with the groups.
Now, you were mentioning the Jimmy Allen, Tim McGraw song. Like, going from some of the things that you've done to Jimmy Allen is certainly a stylistic leap anyway. And Jimmy is one of the more, I would say, exciting singers in country music right now. But then to be able to get the song where he duets with a star of Tim McGraw's stature is pretty exciting. Let it make you stronger and fight a little harder. Those days were made for these. Talk about how that happened.
It was. Jimmy, I consider Jimmy a good friend, and I have so much respect for his journey as an artist. I think whenever we meet so many artists in this game where some of them have worked really hard to get there, some of them not as much. In Jimmy's case, it's his effort and his persistence is so admirable. And I think that going in, I was super excited to work with him because I knew his story. I knew what he was all about. I loved his music beforehand. And when we got in for two sessions in LA. It was the first time we met. First session, we did something, really crossover, which was super cool. And Jimmy's open to all that. He loves being different, but still landing kind of in his space. So I remember the first day, we wrote something that's super like crossover country pop urban, right in the middle of all three. And when we came back after the session, I was like, yo, are you trying to come back for a second day tomorrow? And he's like, absolutely, let's go. So texted me that night and we set up the time for the next day. And when we got back in, I told him, he came in actually with a couple pop ideas. We were writing with another great friend of mine, Riley Bearder, who's incredible. And I told Riley beforehand, I was like, Riley, we got to do something for Jimmy's record today, because I'm not sure if we really landed that yesterday. It was something that was super crossover. That's was exciting to him and exciting to me, but I knew we had to like nail a country record. So Riley was like, all right, cool. Let's force him to do something for his project. So Jimmy came in with two pop ideas that way. And I had Riley's kind of like support on. And I said, dude, we got to do something for you today. Let's really kind of sink in and nail something that makes the most sense for your project. And it was one of those where it was a piano record. I kind of sat down and just played it. It was an idea I wrote prior to the session, and Riley is like the melody monster queen. She's one of my favorite people to write with, and I always know if I can capture a great progression and emotion that she's going to bring it home. And Jimmy's instincts are insane as well, so it went really fast. Like, that was a great day. And I remember Jimmy, after the session, called me and was like, dude, I think I love this song. It was literally like kind of done when we left. We didn't even do any edits on it. It felt really good. And he called me after and was like, I think I got to get McGraw on this, dude. I've been wanting to work with him for a while, and I think he'd really love it. And I didn't think anything of it because people say that stuff all the time. And it's like, all right, man, you got it. Like, have a good day.
Right.
But it actually happened. And Tim added so much personality and sauce to it. And he's obviously a legend in his space. And it was a dream of ours to kind of work with someone like that, even if we didn't get a chance to meet him. But I think the character he added to the record was so powerful. And for a song that was very personal to Jimmy and his journey, Tim was a really great addition there.
I mean, obviously doing this in country is a lot different than doing it in hip hop or even top 40 music like K-pop, because it, you know, like in country, you write the song and you tend not to even be in or near the studio when it's cut. Whereas like in those other forms, in hip hop and in pop music, it's sort of producing is writing in a lot of instances. Mm-hmm. So that must've been a little bit different too.
It was. And I think my biggest asset kind of in the country space is being really proficient on tracks. Mm-hmm. So even in the Jimmy space, it was when I sent Jimmy that song the night after we wrote it, it was pretty, I'd say it was like 75% there in production, because I like them to get, I know how the demo world in Nashville works, but I love to get it there just so he can hear the potential of the song. And that one was so lyric driven and so personal to him about kind of what he went through to get to where he is now in his artist journey, that I wanted the track to represent that emotion. Instead of just sending them a piano demo of it, I kind of wanted to build it out a little bit so they could hear how powerful it would be to get to the chorus and lift. Or it just helps A&Rs, and it also helps artists kind of visualize where it could go. So it's a very different process from pop and urban for sure, but I think I try and kind of use the same structure and strategy I would for anybody else in country.
I ask a lot of songwriters this: have you been in a situation where you're, you know, at a restaurant, at a club, at a store, and you hear a song that you co-wrote on the PA, and you're watching people dig it, and like they don't know that you're one of the people who made that song?
Yeah, I've had that happen a few times actually. One of my favorites was a Karma one in LA. It was in an Uber, and I was heading to the studio from my buddy's house where I was staying, and it popped on. It was like the first song when I walked into the Uber, the intro came on, and the female driving was like freaking out and singing the whole song, and I was just in the back smiling because it was a new release. It was like the first week at radio in LA. And it was really cool to see, because you know the humble beginnings of all that stuff, right? This was something that kind of was a magic moment that we captured. And that's the most exciting part for, I think, songwriters and producers, is if that can change someone's day in a positive way. And whether it's feeling emotional and getting in your feelings, or feeling happy, or any sort of emotion we can cause through a record, I think is the end goal, because it's, people use music as an outlet to heal and as an outlet to feel. And I think if you can be part of that, that's always a winning formula.
For sure. So when I interview artists, I could always say, so what do you got coming up? And they'll say like, oh, I've got a song on this soundtrack, I've got this EP. But with songwriters, it seems to be a tougher question, because until something gets landed, they don't really want to say. But mm-hmm. So that all being said, Is there anything that you've got coming up that you want to mention?
Absolutely. A couple really exciting things. We have a Blackpink record coming out, I believe, this month or next month on their album that I think they just dropped a single for it in the past week or two that is doing incredibly well. So we're really excited to be on that album. It was a song. It was one of those songs again where I left the studio. It was an LA ride, and it was with an incredible crew of people, and we left the studio that day being like, okay, this is really, really good. And you don't get that too often. So when you do, you star the song on your computer and you say, okay, let's see if this one will go, because it should in our heads anyway. So Blackpink is, again, it's a great one. It's a really cool record. I'm excited for that one to come out. And then I'm co-managing and producing for an incredible new artist named Asia Nairi, who's a really great urban kind of R&B crossover artist. And she's got a Chris Brown remix out right now that's doing really well to No Guidance. And started working with her with a very close friend of mine, Mike Brown, who's managing her too. And just, I love being at the ground level of these development projects where you're kind of able to impart your knowledge and also just experience in knowing where to go and where not to. And I think those are equally as exciting to me as just writing songs. There's so much purpose and direction in being able to try and help someone follow their dreams and become a superstar. Those are the moments that you kind of live for doing this.
Well, I know I was only supposed to talk to you for 15 minutes. We've been on for almost 25, so I appreciate you giving me the time. And I look forward to seeing you down the road, Rob, man. Thank you so much.
You too, especially to a fellow Jersey native. I'm all about it.
Indeed. Speak to you soon, man. Take care.
All right, sounds good.
100 years of radio, 100 years of hit makers.
Thanks to Rob Grimaldi for spending so much time with us, and thank you guys for listening. Next week, we're talking to Sunny Digital. Sunny co-wrote Racks for YC and Future. He co-wrote Birthday Song for 2 Chainz and Kanye. He co-wrote Stargazing for Travis Scott. It's going to be really great. We'll catch you guys next week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.